You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Impact Vest podcast, transformative global innovation in a new era of impact. I'm Aisha Williams, the founder and CEO of Impact Vest, and along with our guest host, we aim to inspire and motivate towards collective positive global impact to solve our world's most pressing challenges in sustainability. With each episode, we will engage in insightful conversations with global changemakers, visionaries, and sustainability activists who wish to build a more sustainable and resilient future. Join us now as we create the future of impact.
Hi, everyone. My name is Aisha Williams. I'm the founder and CEO of Impact Vest, and I'm here with Lee McCormick of My Global Home. Welcome, Lee, to our podcast.
Thank you, Aisha. It's great to be here.
Great, Lee. So can you tell us a bit about My Global Home?
My Global Home is maybe it's a little bit misleading. It's not just about the home. It's actually about building intelligence. So we look at how can we make the transition towards net zero in the built environment. How can we actually do that from a perspective where buildings have the capability to understand their performance and you can capture that as a meaningful data metrics and use that in order to then inform how do we design buildings going forward? But then what about the buildings we've already got? 58% of them are just not sustainable. How do we actually bring interventions to them in order to make sure they're on a pathway to that net zero? You know, how do we decarbonize them? And so what we're doing is creating the, you know, technology that gets baked into a building. It's not like a plug-in piece of IoT. It's actually baked in to the fabric of the building. We swap out the distribution board and we have a control system in there, basically using a quad four computer. And that enables us to monitor and manage all of the energy throughout the building, right down to a socket. And we also monitor the air quality, so the environmentals. This is fundamental because once you understand the building fabric, you understand where it's located, and you understand the external climate, as well as the operational usage from the occupants, then you have a real-time kind of view on the actual performance of a building, as opposed to just knowing what the energy metering is, you know, without the context of what's the climate like, what's the building structure made of. You don't really have a real insight into its performance. So one of the biggest problems out there is how do we know the upgrades, the sustainability upgrades, the pathways towards net zero are actually the right ones to deploy, because there's no actual measurements going on that give that real context at the moment. And so My Global Home, it's the idea behind it was to bring that level of visibility. You know, my background is I worked in Formula One, I've worked in healthcare, you know, mainly around product engineering. And it's quite normal to use data to inform innovation. So based on the performance of, you know, a car at the weekend on the track, all of the sensors, we analyze the data, that then helps inform innovations for the next race, for the next day, or even the afternoon. In the construction industry, in the built environment, that just doesn't exist really today, not in any meaningful fashion. So we're bringing that kind of commercial grade building management system to a level that's scalable and can actually have an impact, you know, right across affordable housing, right the way up to premium housing.
And that's so important when we're searching for pathways to net zero and looking at the market for the built environment. And speaking about the growing market, because it certainly is a growing market when we are looking at the built environment and searching for new pathways, how do you see the growth of this market, we'll say, over the next couple of years?
It's in a massive flux at the moment because there's regulatory tailwinds, basically bringing in tougher restrictions for landlords, building operators, forcing the industry to basically become more sustainable. So you have governments looking at their stock, the building stock, and seeing how can they introduce regulations to decarbonize the environment, because as we know, the built environment is the largest single contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. By I think a factor of four times over any other sector like air travel. So you have the building regulations are increasing. So there's regulations coming in right across Europe, America, you know, globally. 2025 is a big milestone. And at the moment in the UK, for example, 58% of properties will be ineligible to be rented out from 2025 onwards, because they're below what's called an EPC-C rating, which is their energy performance certificate. So with that impact of regulation coming in, you're seeing loads of small landlords exiting the market because there's a bottleneck of cost and basically labor to actually upgrade those buildings. So you're seeing assets being downgraded. So you know, brown assets where they're basically being discounted because they're not actually at that sustainable level. So there's a kind of a flight out of the market from small scale landlords, and they're being snapped up by funds that are now appearing and being formed to basically target the distressed assets as we move towards these regulations coming in. And 2025 is just the beginning of this increasing regulation of the built environment. So it's going to become much harder for smaller players to actually stay in the market. You're going to see larger players basically dominate and, you know, look for distressed assets. So it's a really interesting push-pull dynamic. You know, you do need to kind of do something to make, to force the industry to change, because otherwise it won't. You know, that's the reason it's the largest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. There's no desire to change. Everyone would like to just keep it as it is. So you have regulation coming in, which is actually going to have a massive transformational impact on the landscape. But unfortunately, you could see rents increasing significantly because the availability is going to be reduced. There's all kinds of dynamics going on that's going to make it a very challenging environment for the small landlords, but leaning more towards larger funds coming in and larger property portfolio owners.
And where do you see My Global Home in this changing landscape in terms of the regulations, in terms of higher rents? It seems like you have such a unique proposition in terms of the net zero pathway. So how are you placed in terms of the changing landscape?
Yeah, so we took a different approach to what I would say is the dominant smart building, smart home, intelligent building technology approach. So most of them are combinations of IoT devices, kind of light touch plug-in devices, and their focus is on inexpensive quick solutions. Our approach was actually much more robust, more expensive than most of the lower IoT grade products you see out there, but what they're not able to do is actually factor in the evolving regulatory landscape over the coming, you know, 3, 5, 10 years. So we've actually future-proofed the technology so it can actually go on the whole journey right through to 2030 and beyond, understanding how building performs in relation to ESG, how the regulations will actually change around actually how buildings are evaluated from their rate sustainability rating. So because we have particular powerful quad four computer in there and our software approach and our approach to being embedded within the fabric of the building, you know, we have that access and visibility to the real performance of a building, and we're able to support that over a period of time. So we went for a much more, if you like, commercial grade solution for an affordable housing market.
And Lee, you also spoke about the need for data, and you're absolutely right. In so many industries and impact investing, this is a classic challenge for us as well, that we need to have the data to be able to strategically deploy capital to where it's most needed. It's across sectors, across industries, this need for data. How do you see that being able to be resolved in the future? It is the major challenge, I believe, in sustainability at the moment.
The solution is quite simple. You really need to understand, you know, you see it in other markets where you understand the assets and how they perform, and you have detailed reporting on their performance, and you can understand and evaluate, you know, how is your asset performing in line with your own directives, your fundamentals. The built environment just doesn't have that data yet. And so having access to that data, you know, in GRESB or, you know, impact kind of reporting formats that actually communicates, you know, the asset's performance, how it's being used, how it relates to its, you know, the community, you know, all of those different metrics which inform on for the landlords how to maintain the property, where the property is performing well, how, you know, is there an instance that's going to cause damp and mold? Is there a fire risk? Is there a leak, you know, water leaks? You know, all of these different metrics. At the moment, when you think about it, it's the most expensive assets that we have. None of that data is readily available. So the plethora of technology solutions you're seeing come to the market are the plug-in devices for leak detection, or the plug-in devices to measure the energy, you know, but none of them had take a kind of a holistic approach. So it's very fragmented. So we've got this kind of robust fabric embedded approach, which is much more holistic. And you don't just, it's not just about monitoring the energy and performance. It's also then being able to use AI to inform that energy and performance as well. So by, for example, understanding what the weather, the climate is outside, and whether somebody, you know, how somebody's using a building on the inside, you can actually have an intelligent approach to room by room heating or lighting. You know, alternative at the moment is, you know, room by room thermostats, but they're better than no room by room heating control, but they're still relatively dumb because they've got no understanding of the external climate and no understanding of whether someone's actually in that room or not. That's just like one tiny example. And so if you are responsible for, you know, 50,000, 100,000 properties, you need to understand how all of your different assets are actually performing and have visibility over the ones that are falling into the at-risk brackets, you know, at risk from water damage, at risk from damp and mold, at risk from, you know, faulty appliances causing fires. And at the moment, there's no visibility of portfolio's risks, you know, and you'd expect that you'd expect that it would have that visibility. So we're really trying to say, look, we've got this much more robust approach, and the whole platform, the technology and the way the data is captured and delivered, it's all about understanding the risks in those assets and how to improve their performance.
So I believe that what you're working on is transformational for the built environment market. So if you were to have the missing data that you currently don't have, what do you believe could be built with that missing data?
The main difference is understanding the impact of what we're building now. So when we're designing You can take some of the largest engineering companies in the world that inform on actually, you know, the way buildings are specified and designed, the materials they use, the heating systems they deploy. At the moment, they run computer models on the predicted performance of those buildings. And, you know, we're
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Partner with some of the biggest ones in Europe, and we know that, you know, they typically would overspec by something like 140% the required, if you like, building management system, all of the M&E, so that, you know, they're comfortable in the knowledge that they're going to be able to create an environment that's suitable for the occupants. But that comes at the expense of being massively overspecified. So if you actually had the real knowledge of, and that's at a commercial grade. So imagine at smaller buildings, commercial buildings, you know, under 10,000 square foot, which is actually the dominant part of the market, and then down into residential, you know, they've got absolutely no visibility really. And so if you had knowledge, you could save a huge amount on materials. You could look at how we actually design the buildings in the first place to make them more efficient combinations of materials, combinations of materials that actually are proven to be more efficient in different climate types. You know, maybe it's a typically humid environment, cold environment, you know, different environments, materials will perform differently. There's no visibility over that. So the biggest impact would really be, how do we build in the going forward based on understanding the impact of the materials and designs we're actually creating? And then also, for what's already been built, what's the strategy for upgrading those buildings based on the exact building type and location, not just a cookie cutter approach where you just apply the same thinking to every building, irrespective of, you know, its current makeup and where it is.
Right, because there are probably quite a lot of buildings that need to be upgraded. But that goes into the regulatory space also. And so there's quite a lot of, I would say, conversations that have to happen or partnerships that have to happen between the regulators, probably a large and small players to be able to really build a very strong net zero pathway. You bring up such a good point, Lee, because we often don't think of our own homes as unsustainable. So if we're able to build a stronger pathway towards net zero through all of our own homes, we can build the sustainable future that we're looking for.
I mean, that's exactly the case. And it's interesting, we don't look at our own homes in that way, I think, because they're, you know, such a big asset that we either rent or and have little control over how it's constructed or operated, or we own, that it's hard to think of how it can transform. But being, you know, four times the largest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions, it is an area that needs a lot of attention. More than 50% of the homes that we live in are actually well below standard and, you know, quite carbon intensive. And so the reality is, though, we can actually use, you know, it is possible for our homes to reach the point where they are, from a performance perspective at least, because they're already constructed, from a performance perspective, they can reach net zero. But it's you know, at the moment, the infrastructure isn't there, the will or the business models to actually have it deployed is only just evolving. And that's one of the things we're looking at. which is why it's most appealing at the moment to the build to rent market, or, you know, the living sector, if you like. Because when you are owner operator of large portfolios, you have a vested interest in the performance of those assets. And so you're more likely and more inclined from a commercial standpoint to actually invest in helping those assets become, you know, reach net zero. When, you know, if you're a tenant, maybe within a council, government, you know, affordable housing or something like that, you don't really have the ability to transform the property you're in into something that's net zero. You know, you're reliant on the landlord. And so there's a really interesting dynamic there of, you know, do you own your own property and, you know, it's not inexpensive to transform your property into net zero. And it's not even easy to know exactly what solutions you need to deploy in order to get there, because the data isn't available and there's lots of conflicting messaging and wild claims from different fragmented providers like solar panels, battery storage, electric vehicle charging, insulation. You know, everyone has different claims. Trying to devise a solution for yourself, it's really difficult and often quite expensive. So there is a big challenge, particularly around the business models, around knowledge and understanding. But that's why we're at the moment, we're particularly focused on the living sector, which includes build to rent, single family homes, care environments, hotel rooms, because the operators have that vested interest in seeing their portfolio reach net zero. And so that's going to be the driver of that market. You know, they will help, if you like, direct and create the blueprints that homeowners can then look and learn from and, you know, copy.
So would you say, Lee, that there's a responsibility there for the portfolio managers of building net zero investment strategies to be able to lead the marketplace in terms of what is expected for net zero pathways for all of the assets in their portfolio?
Absolutely. And I think they're doing that because of the regulations and the parallel between buildings that are not sustainable and lower yields on rental income, higher maintenance costs, you know, generally higher management and running costs. The assets are becoming liabilities. You know, they're naturally being compelled, following the fundamentals, to want to upgrade and make their buildings more sustainable because the yields are much higher and more stable, and it actually turns their portfolios into, you know, a more valuable and secure asset. That, you know, is where they're heading. So you do have a good alignment now between improving sustainability is making more financial sense. And that, you know, is being backed by the regulation, which is why, you know, fund managers, portfolio owners of properties will be now themselves driving and looking for solutions to help them achieve that.
And alongside with the regulators making it clearer of the benefits towards the pathway to net zero, I believe that we can build the portfolio strategies to support the environment towards sustainability in the built environment. And so how do you see the pathway in the market going forward? There's quite a lot of market volatility in the moment. You spoke a bit about that. And how do you see this intersection between the regulators, the larger portfolio managers and asset owners, and the private markets? And how can there be a type of environment that all stakeholders are working together to build a more sustainable pathway towards net zero and the built environment?
I think the idea that they would work together is a tough one. Because historically, the developers, landlords, portfolio owners haven't tended to innovate or do anything with the property stock unless they have to. You know, there's been a real resistance to change, because why change when I've got an existing portfolio and I know, you know, I've got predictable returns. And I don't need to invest, you know, unnecessary funds where I'm not sure what the potential impact might be. And I don't and no one's forcing me to do it. So it's, but we've reached a point where actually what we're seeing is lots of companies, big companies, insurance companies, moving into property development where they're looking at developing net zero buildings and then renting those to the housing associations. You're looking at utility companies, energy companies moving into property development, and they're creating portfolios of properties where they're offering occupants free energy for their lifetime. So they're driving towards exceeding, you know, quite farly exceeding sustainability requirements from a building regulations perspective, because their business model is building the most sustainable properties that can perform in a net zero way, and using that as an attractor to appeal to their market of, you know, tenants looking for a zero bills living experience. So there's all these kind of different activities, pilots going on at the moment everywhere you look. You know, so you've got energy companies becoming property developers, you've got insurance companies becoming property developers, you've got existing portfolio owners really reevaluating their own portfolios and trying to understand, you know, how do we basically get rid of some of the liabilities if the building's just not sustainable to even upgrade. It's actually better to just remove that from the portfolio, and for the rest of it, how do they upgrade it? So it really feels like such a dynamic period. I think the next 3 years you're going to start to see, because it obviously takes time for these projects to come online, but within the next 3 years you're going to see many different business models around this drive towards net zero, because it's now making financial sense for the owners and operators.
So it's been proven that there is no trade-off between financial returns and positive impact and striving towards net zero in your portfolio. So I believe that as we have the regulations that make it easier for asset owners and portfolio managers to clearly see that there is not a trade-off, then they can start to support the assets in their portfolio and in a much better way, in a much supportive way that really allows their capital to be deployed more strategically toward the net zero transition. Lee, so where do you see the future of My Global Home within this transformative environment and constantly changing space?
My Global Home will operate under a platform called PropCode. So PropCode being the platform where the data is made available via a logbook for each property. So what we see is being, because we can basically accredit a building's performance in real time. So at the moment, it's, you know, they're typically graded once every 10 years, or, you know, if a property is being sold, you need to have it graded for its sustainability rating. We're able to, through our technology, basically accredit a building's grade in real time. And so we see ourselves as supporting, you know, this transition towards net zero in a way that enables investors and owners to really understand their assets. So we're kind of a benchmark for responsible investors, lenders, and property owners to, you know, looking to better understand and manage their portfolio risk. And, you know, we see ourselves as a good partner for those organizations.
Well, this has been a very inspiring conversation, Lee, about the future of the built environment and the transition towards net zero. So thank you very much for being a guest on our podcast. And it's really exciting to see the technology that you're working on that is really set up to transform the space for the net zero transition for the built environment. So thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Aisha. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the ImpactVest podcast, transformative global innovation in a new era of impact. Join us next week for another episode and become part of our ImpactVest newsletter community, where you will receive all of the latest updates about our work in this new era of innovative impact finance. See you next week as we create the future of finance at ImpactVest.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.